Now, back to the Bob Morning Show, brought to you by DJ's Home Services.
Total Country Bob FM.
The Bob Almanac taking charge here of your day and your morning, so sit back and enjoy. And if you want to go see the Oak Ridge Boys American Made Farewell Tour, I had a discussion, I think, during the All Request Lunch Hour with somebody who's excited. They already have their tickets and they're going, about who's going to take over Joe Bonsall's
vocals. They hired a guy.
Okay,
yeah,
that was what I was wondering. I was going to ask you that. Then I go, I'll ask Neil. He's really in tune to this stuff. And again, he keeps his finger on the pulse.
Young 25-year-old guy that was friends with somebody in the Oak Ridge Boys, and it's the kind of guy, word that the kid could sing. They brought him in. He knew every song. He knew how to harmonize. He knew them all. And William Lee Golden said, man, he stepped right in, and we barely missed a beat. And he goes, that's impressive because of what Joe did for us.
As long as he can hit the notes during Elvira.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty important. And the during the... Which songs do the yeah? I guess you could have turned my head around and left my heart alone, that old thing.
Right.
I wish you would have done it. I think that's where that part is from Joe.
I can't remember his name, but I could look it up. But anyway, he's there.
We don't need to know his name.
He's the guy.
We just need to hear his voice. Yep. We don't need to know his name.
We're going
to
hear him a week from yesterday.
So Thursday, November 7th, 312th day of the year. 1874 on this day, Thomas Nast, he was a cartoonist.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first time that the elephant as a symbol for the Republican Party appeared in Harper's Weekly. What came first, the elephant or the donkey?
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know, but I think the same guy did them.
Right.
It's the same guy.
Guy could...
He was sharp.
Guy could draw up a storm, no doubt. Didn't he also kind of come up with the modern vision of Santa?
Was it him, too? I think it was Uncle Sam he did. And the guy was skilled.
1910, the first air freight shipment is undertaken. You know, the Wright brothers had just gotten into the whole...
Yeah, 1909, wasn't it?
Yeah, just gotten into the whole airplane and flight thing. And already in 1910, they were looking at ways to make money in it, as it's a first ever air freight shipment. FedEx had nothing on the Wright brothers, as department store owner Max Morehouse had some freight, you know, probably some shoes or something.
Sure.
Sent some lampshades from Dayton, Ohio to Columbus, Ohio. Not very long.
No.
But he didn't want to use truck or covered wagon or train. So they took a freight shipment, and maybe it was more of an experimental thing.
Could have been.
Than a necessary thing from Dayton to Columbus. I don't know. I haven't traveled that trek before, but I don't. Dayton and Columbus, I don't think they're that far apart. A couple of hours, maybe.
I would tell you.
I'm not as familiar with Ohio as I used to be. 1917, this is kind of a big day in Russia, because this was the revolution. This was the Bolshevik revolution.
Sure.
Lenin and his socialist cronies, the Bolsheviks, seized power, capturing the Winter Palace and overthrew the provisional government.
Ooh.
The Russian Soviet Federative Socialist Republic is proclaimed. Communism, basically. Commies took over. And the First Council of People's Commissars, don't turn around, the Commissars in town. So the Commissars are now in town.
Okay.
In Moscow. Lenin, you got Vlad Lenin, you got Leon Trotsky and Joseph Stalin.
Ooh.
So Stalin was in there, Lenin and Trotsky. Stalin was around for a long time because he was pretty young here in 1917, because he was also there during World War II.
It's kind of like Thin Lizzy, the boys are back in town.
And after Lenin died, Trotsky and Stalin kind of had a falling out. And they actually expelled Trotsky from the Communist Party.
They're out.
Yeah, poor Trotsky.
Okay.
So that was this day, 1917, the Bolshevik Revolution. 1942, here this day. This is FDR, Neil.
Mes amis qui souffrent jour et nuit sous le joug accablant des nazis, je vous parle comme celui
I'm not playing it backwards. That's Franklin Delano Roosevelt speaking in French.
Wow.
First time ever broadcast, a U.S. president speaking in a foreign language. Can you imagine any of our current leaders or almost leaders speaking in French? Biden, Trump, Harris, Walls. The only one I could see recently doing that would be Jimmy Carter.
Yeah,
Carter was very worldly, and he knew a lot about things. SNL actually spoofed that he knew a lot about a lot of things.
Yeah.
How about that? Franklin Delano Roosevelt talking to the French people saying, hey, you got to resist these Nazis.
Good for him.
And I'm going to speak to you in your language.
In your tongue. So, that is impressive.
Yes. That was this date. I'm sure we've had presidential...
That knew other languages.
Yes. A bilingual. Certainly. Mm-hmm. Maybe they would surprise us. I just think it would be comical if some of those people that I mentioned would speak in French or another mm-hmm. language. Mm-hmm. Ted Cruz. No, was it Marco Rubio spoke in Spanish the other night,
okay.
I saw.
Yeah.
Wherever he was speaking. So there's that, certainly. 1962, speaking of presidential candidates, actually, this is after he lost the gubernatorial race, 1962, in California. It's Dick Nixon.
But as I leave you, I want you to know, just think how much you're going to be missing. You don't have Nixon to kick around anymore.
Because, well, we soon will, because as Billy Joel said, and we didn't start the fire, Richard Nixon back again.
Yes.
As he will make his return in 1968 and then in 72. And then again, we wouldn't have him to kick around anymore when he leaves in 74.
Right.
But this was the date that he was talking to the press after he lost the gubernatorial election.
You know, 72 was the last time Minnesota voted for a Republican. And it was won by a Republican candidate.
Richard Nixon, yes.
In 72.
In 80, it was Reagan, but we didn't vote for him. It was Mondale-Ferraro ticket. Us in D.C.
Yeah, the only two states.
Right. And what was that, 13 electoral votes?
Something like that.
Was a landslide.
It really was a landslide
there, because we had our 10 electoral votes, and I think District of Columbia has one representative, two senators.
Something like that.
Does that sound right?
That sounds right.
I'm guessing there at that point. How about 1965? We had a debut.
And who are you?
I'm Poppin' Fresh, the Pillsbury Doughboy. May I have this dance? A house smells so nice when you bake in the oven. You bake something warm and fresh in the oven.
Yeah, nothing. The Doughboy made his debut, the Pillsbury Doughboy.
Lovable.
And very lovable, very pokeable. He loved being poked.
Yeah.
And
what was better, the Michelin Man or the Pillsbury Doughboy?
Later in his life, he would have to see counseling for all that poking, because a lot of it was unauthorized, and he did not give permission. So the Pillsbury Doughboy debuted TV commercial. Of course, it's Pillsbury. That's local.
Yeah, it is.
It was created right here in the heart of wheat and flour country.
Gotta like it.
1980 this day. Let's remember this actor.
Detective Lieutenant Frank Bullitt, some other kind of cop. Pity the guy he works for.
Lieutenant, don't try to evade the responsibility.
Like Robert Vaughn.
It was very much Robert Vaughn there for you, Bob FM. Yeah, I'm having trouble with my laptop. It's not properly taking the charge.
Oh.
I just lost all my audio.
Oh.
It happened to you, now it's happening to
yes.
me.
Yes. It's good to know.
These
too
new
bad
laptops,
Terry's not here. She thrived.
These new laptops, when you lose or have to replace a power supply,
mm-hmm.
you go buy another one from another supplier.
Sure.
Sometimes they don't.
It's like a Bob putting in a new a transplanted body part.
Right. Exactly.
Sometimes your body rejects it.
It doesn't properly charge. Mm. The said laptop or computer, mm-hmm. it'll run when it's plugged in. It'll run, but it's not charging the battery as it's doing so.
Ah.
So what happens is the battery gets so low that even though it's plugged in, it won't continue to run.
Hmm.
Now, once I start it back up again, my browser should come back with all the audio lined up. If it doesn't, it's going to be a rather short Bob Almanac.
Right, and I understand
which is,
that. Yeah.
This is the first time this has ever happened to me, actually,
right.
During the Almanac.
Yep.
And I should have been aware of this because it did happen to me the other day, the other morning, when I was in here earlier, okay. And it happened. I go, oh, gosh, I hope that never happens during the Almanac.
I've never replaced a power supply or a power source in anything.
Right.
So I just get a new one at that
point. Well, maybe I should contact RB's, and maybe if I replaced and put a different battery in,
yeah,
maybe that would do it.
I would check with the experts.
There it is. Okay. Hey, hey, hey.
You're back.
In your parlance, you blew it.
What the hell is going on here? A high-speed pursuit? Two men are killed?
That's a great movie because Norman Fell is in there.
Yeah.
Mr. Wow. Roper.
Mr. Roper's
is in there. Yeah,
What are we talking about? Is that Bullet?
It's Bullet, of course, yeah.
Captain Baker would like to have a word with you.
Here comes Mr. Roper.
Now listen to me, Lieutenant.
And he hung up.
Yeah.
Because that's Lieutenant Bullet.
Yeah.
He was driving around in that green...
Yes, the
green. That green Mustang.
Yeah.
So the one and only Steve McQueen died at the age of 50 on
so young.
Yep. How about that tap dancing, though?
That's good.
I mean,
that was good.
What did you think of that tap dancing
while
I waited for my computer to start
up?
Not that I'm looking to pat myself on the back or anything.
Right.
But,
it was pretty seamless.
It was gold.
Great Escape, Bullet, Papillon.
He was 50
And, of course,
only.
The Magnificent Seven.
What did he die of? Lung cancer?
Yes.
Was he a heavy smoker?
Yeah, I think
all
he
right.
was. Yep.
Hey, here's Willie on Miami Vice.
That's right, puppy dog. I found it. I don't have time to play a long hand, so find me somebody that knows how to deal. I'm in room 415.
Willie was a corrupt policeman on Miami Vice, guest appearances date, 1986, probably dealing weed.
Oh, man.
Right. Narcotics. That was 1986. 91. Here's Magic Johnson.
Because of the HIV virus that I have attained, I will have to retire from the Lakers today.
This was stunning sports news.
Oh, my gosh.
And I tell this story every year. I remember what happened on this date. You called me at my house as I'm preparing, I believe it was Ogilvy versus Manoman.
Mm-hmm.
Class
Playoff
C
football.
Semifinals at the Metrodome.
Okay.
And we were getting ready for it, or was the playoffs, or it had been moved because of the Halloween blizzard, I think, actually, because wasn't the Halloween blizzard 91?
Sure.
So I think it was moved to the Metrodome.
Yep.
I was preparing. And you called me somehow, and it was a tremendous breach of security and protocol at my radio station, WCMP Pine City.
Right, they gave out your number.
They gave you my home number, which they were under strict instructions to never do that. I don't care who it is, especially
right.
The guy. And I think I even said, the guy from the Princeton station, if he calls,
right.
Don't give it to him.
I don't want the associate.
And all of a sudden, you call me, I get a call.
Yeah.
I got the wireless phone. I'm on the floor. I'm actually doing my prep, my depth charts for the football game right there and there. And you call and you say, hey, you got those Ogilvy starters? No. But then I remember you said, well, what a crazy day in the sports world. You said that because of this Magic Johnson thing. I do.
Yeah.
Do you remember that at all?
I don't.
Okay.
I do not.
It actually did happen.
I believe it.
2000.
Believe it.
And then he retired. Then he was able to come back and he never got AIDS. He was HIV positive, but he never developed full-blown AIDS, as they used to call it. 2019.
The Queen of England is updating her wardrobe. Her new outfits will be fur-free. Queen Elizabeth is known for her stylish fashion choices, but she's decided to ditch fur from her...
No more fur for Queen Elizabeth II, but that was only on her clothes. That was the caveat there. That was the little red tape, the little thing there they were able to get away with. All of their oven mitts at Buckingham Palace were fur-lined. The inside, fur-lined oven mitts.
Those are special.
Bath mats,
yes.
All fur.
Fur-lined.
All fur. It was only the clothes.
Okay.
Queen Elizabeth II, 2019. How about birthdays now?
We have a fella downstairs, Jim Cotton. Jim, what about you?
What about me?
Well, I heard you say in February, if there's one thing you can book, it's the fact that Minnesota is going to finish last in their division. You said that, didn't you?
Yeah, but how was I to know? They went out and got Jack Morris, and he was going to win 18 games. How was I to know Chili Davis would hit 29 home runs? Carl Willis, who had been in the minor leagues for about the last 6 years, was going to do a great job in the bullpen. And Chuck Knobloch would have the kind of year that'll probably make him Rookie of the Year. How was I supposed to know that? That's how they went from last to first. And by the way, Jack Buck, at that same meeting, I think you picked the Cardinals to finish last.
Ooh,
and he's a Cardinals guy.
Oh, zinger!
And Jim Cott is a Twins guy. Yeah. And who would have known that Scott Erickson was going to be as dominant as he was?
Yeah.
In '91 as well. He just shows you can't predict. Even guys like Jim Cott get things wrong.
Yep.
Your old neighbor Jim Cott.
Yeah. Didn't live there long, but
86.
We chased him out. But
he's 86 today. For
still
the
fantastic.
16-time Gold Glover and a wonderful
Kitty.
Broadcaster.
Yeah.
He could spin a yarn, certainly.
Knew the game
Everybody
so
talking
well.
About the seventh son and the whole round world. That is only one, and I'm a one.
Johnny Rivers.
I'm a one.
The secret agent man.
He's a one.
I'm a one, I'm a one. The one to call a seventh son.
82 for him today.
Great singer.
Let's do this.
Searching. What is this book? That miserable little diary of yours. Yes, the map. The book is useless, and yet you come all the way back to Berlin to get it. Why? What are you hiding? What does the diary tell you that it doesn't tell us?
Tells me that goose-stepping morons like yourself should try reading books instead of burning them.
He was the goose-stepping moron in The Last Crusade, Neil.
Right.
Name is the actor David Byrne. He was the Nazi, and he met a gruesome death. He held on to that tank a little too long. He should have jumped.
Oh, that's right.
Remember? And they actually show his, you know, in the special effects, they have like a little doll on the model, and his head's going back. If you watch it really close, it's actually quite amazing.
Oh, that's cool.
The detail there, that's Michael Byrne, the English actor, Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade. We'll call him the goose-stepping moron.
How old?
And he's 81.
Okay.
Also 81 today is Joni Mitchell.
One of the greats.
This song, just listen to the words and both sides now. And they go from clouds to love to life. It's pretty amazing. I got a little misty at the end of the Ricky Gervais show, Afterlife, when they played this.
Yeah.
So Joni Mitchell, 81, she's the singer there. Let's go to the Brady house, and Peter Brady's making a phone call.
Hello?
Carrie?
This is Carrie.
Hi, this is Pete.
Pete who?
Peter Brady. You met me this afternoon. I'm
no
Jan's
respect.
Brother.
Oh, you must be the cute little one with the freckles.
No, that's my brother Bobby.
Oh, then you're the groovy-looking guy who was fixing the car.
No, that's my brother, Greg.
Then which one are you?
Well, I'm the one who better say goodbye.
Poor Pete.
Poor Pete.
He just never got respect. He never got noticed. He was a middle child.
Yeah, that's me. Pete and I are very similar.
Even with the pork chops and applesauce at his side,
yeah,
he had a hard time getting dates. But that's Christopher Knight. Peter Brady from the Brady Bunch television show. 67 today.
The smell of your weird is actually affecting my vocal cords, so I'm going to need you to scoot, skedaddle.
Well, why don't we just exchange emails and then totally hang out right now together?
No. Hard pass. Hard pass. What a nerd alert. Okay, guys, now let's match pitch.
When's the last time you issued a nerd alert, Neil?
Gosh, it's been a couple of weeks.
I think I get those on my phone. Nerd alert. Adam Devine, that's from Pitch Perfect. He's 41 today. How about that Raising Hope show?
A baby? Good Lord. Well, you can safe drop it at the fire station. Only make sure you hand it to someone. You can't just throw it in the bin out front. I think that's for canned goods and puppies.
I'm not taking her to the fire station.
Yeah, we don't have time for that. We got a rave tonight we got to get ready for.
I can't go to a rave.
You have to go. You're my ride. If I take my bike, my pants will get all wrinkled, and then all this ironing will be for naught.
Look, guys, I'm keeping this baby, and I...
And he did keep the baby. That's from the show Raising Hope, which I thought was really funny.
That's
a good show.
Right,
39 today. And our British...
What's that guy's name?
Is Lucas Neff. He was
okay.
Jimmy
okay.
on Raising Hope. And our rapper of the day from Britain, Tiny Tempa. Tiny Tempa today.
Tiny Tempa?
Yeah.
Okay.
36.
I've heard of some of our rappers of the day. Certainly have not heard of that one.
And then singer Lord is 28,
too. Lord, yeah, sure.
With we cut her short because we're limited at time here because of the computer mix up earlier.
Lord with an E.
Lord.
Gone but not forgotten today. Madame Curie, a very fine chemist, physicist, born on this day in 1867 in your history books. You would no doubt find some of her works. Our first audio of the day comes from, I think we have him still, Academy Award-winning actor Dean Jagger, 1903.
Blue Squadron, here they come, 12 o'clock high. Watch it, Cobb, they're heading for the High Squadron.
High Squadron's got to be on the lookout.
Yeah, you got to be taking a peek. He was in more than 150 films during his career, and then won Oscar for the film 12 o'clock high, and there was a bit from it, and he was born on this day, 1903. When Billy Graham was on television, we watched, even if it was during dinner, we'd roll the TV over so we could watch the great Billy Graham.
I want to take this opportunity to welcome all of you. I want you to turn with me tonight to the sixth chapter of Matthew's Gospel in the 24th verse. The sixth chapter and the 24th verse. These words: no man can serve two masters.
Remember those words, Neil.
Yep.
Billy Graham and the Hour of Decision.
Yes.
Which was only 27 minutes.
Which was weird because it was an hour of decision. I guess the other 33 were up to you to make your own decision.
That's right.
Yeah. Billy Graham, born on this date, 1918. How about Al Hurt? Fine trumpeteer, band leader.
With that kind of staccato going on, I mean, his may be a little sore.
It's impressive, though. Al Hurt was born on this very day in 1922. Barry Newman was Petrocelli Wednesday nights in the mid-70s. And it is TV theme time, Jim.
You were a fan.
I was a fan.
I don't remember it.
I think it was because I was a fan of Rico Petrocelli, who played for the Red Sox in the late 60s.
You probably thought there was some connection.
I did, and then it was some guy named Barry Newman, but he was a East Coast lawyer transplanted into a small Arizona town where he practiced law and solved crimes and mysteries.
Driving a light blue Chevy Silverado pickup, C10 maybe.
Oh, nice.
With an ugly topper. Very ugly.
Yeah. He was modest in his ways. Petrocelli there was played by Barry Newman, who was in other things, and he was born on this day, 1930. Spent some time with the Twins. He and his brother Phil, very fine pitchers. We're talking about Joe Niekro, born on this day, 1944.
Got caught with some sandpaper and Henry boards. Remember
that? Yeah, I do.
All right, you have this welded into your back pocket. Show us what happens.
Well, okay, I'm sitting here. I look like I'm perfectly clean, right?
Right.
I got nothing on my glove, nothing on my hands.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to doctor baseball, I'm looking in, and I'm going to say, well, I want to doctor this baseball. I could take what I have right here and put it on the bottom of my spikes and take the ball and lift my leg up, which I have right there, and just stuff the ball, and you got to scout baseball.
Yeah, you do. Now, why do you have that on the bottom of your dress shoes? Everywhere this guy goes, he's doctoring balls. What?
That was such a great interaction between Joe and Letterman.
He was great at that.
And that came right after the whole thing in California when he got caught.
When he got caught.
87.
And thrown, back pocket, out comes the Emery board. What a great bit. born on this day in 1944, there's Joe Niekro. And we had Rebecca Schaefer. We've had these young actresses who sadly left us. And they should not have. Dana Plato, born on this day, 1964. She was in Different Strokes.
Right. She was Kimberly.
What you talking about, Kimberly?
She had to deal with Arnold.
She had to
be a handful.
Was she murdered, too? Or
something? No. She had drug issues.
She had
drug issues.
Sadly. But 1964, and she and all of them are gone, but not forgotten.
What are the two categories that your staff struggles with most?
Wrestlers and classic country.
Right.
I have 460-some pounds of plans for Mr. Wonderful. And they all start right here with what I like to call the new Mr. Wonderful.
Well, it might be a little more than 468. This guy just whistled through four plates of Eggs Benedict. King Kong Bundy, welcome back to New Haven.
You know, little man, wouldn't it make a lot more sense to call me King Kong Bundy, 6'5" tall, 468 pounds? Call me Mr. Wonderful.
King Kong Bundy, did he not have the perfect haircut for his body type?
He did. He very much did.
King Kong Bundy, King Christopher Pallies was King Kong Bundy. Did you hear Mean Gene?
Yeah, he just whistled through.
Was it seven or eight Egg Benedicts?
I thought he said four plates of Egg Benedict. Yeah,
which could be doubled.
Could be doubled. So, you can fit four on a plate, I'm pretty sure.
King Kong Bundy, 1957 pro wrestler.
Sadly.
Part of the Heenan family. Now they're all gone.
Gone, but not but forgotten.
But not forgotten. All right, so my computer paused on us there for a little bit. What part of the computer am I having issues with? That's the quiz question.
Oh, yes.
What's the part that I had to replace, and it's not charging the battery, but it runs when it's plugged in, but sometimes the battery gets so low that it still crashes or turns off.
And I said I've never replaced any of them.
763-450-0100, 763-450-0100.
Proving again that it could be anything. That is mentioned during the Almanac segment.
And if you call in, first guy, first woman, whoever, it could be a horse. If you call in, you win tickets to the Oak Ridge Boys. Would you like to go with Oh Restless Heart, Fast Moving Train? Mm-hmm. That's in there. Yeah. Hope that's not your Fave 5 tomorrow. Bye-bye, Jody Messina or Garth. Friends in low places.
Joe D. Messina, please.
WQPM, Princeton. WLKX, Forest Lake. KDDG, Albany. KDDG, HD1, Albany, St. Cloud. KDGY, Faribault. KLCI, Elk River. KLCI, HD1, Elk River, Minneapolis.